Maybe Marie should come up here too. You want to come up here, hon? Yeah. Yeah. No, she is the one that got this all going here. We've got to give you a good report. First of all, a few years back, our son-in-law, Alex, he was a Jewish fellow. He's not in with the Lord yet, but it's coming. Anyway, he had an accident a few years ago and doing 110 miles an hour on a motorcycle, and he broke his left shoulder. So he had an operation and everything was fine. But from that, he started snoring. He had sleep apnea. He was waking up 51 times in an hour. And that's not good the way to sleep. He was having a very difficult time. Well, of course, you've heard the last time he had another accident doing 10 miles an hour and broke his right shoulder. I mean, it gets a little ridiculous. You've got a right to laugh. You have a right to laugh.
It was worse than the first one.
It was worse than the first one. While we were in the hospital, Marie came up to him just as we were leaving. And she said to the Lord, what did you pray?
Well, I prayed that something good would come out of this. Out of the bad, God would make something good come out of it.
And praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, something did happen. Because of Marie's prayer. Because of her solid attitude with God. I mean, it's unbendable, it's unbreakable. She prayed that prayer for him. Last night, when we were having dinner for Father's Day, birthday, his birthday, my birthday, we were having a good old time, and Lori says, I have a good report. She says, Alex does not snore anymore. He doesn't have sleep apnea anymore.
He doesn't have headaches anymore.
And he doesn't have headaches anymore like he used to. I mean, so some good came out of it. And bless the heart of a woman and a mother that cares. We had some good report. So praise the Lord. So your prayers, we prayed here. And we prayed. And we prayed for Alex. And good came out of it.
Amen.
Don't ever give up on prayer. Don't ever give up on prayer. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence here, Lord. Father, today we've come into your house to hear from you, to learn of you, to grow in you. And so, Lord, right now, as your servant, I yield myself to you. Have your way. Speak your word, your thoughts through me, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord, and I yield myself as a servant to you. I thank you, Lord, that what's said here today will touch hearts, change lives, cause direction and correction, and will give hope and joy to those who need hope and joy today. And reaffirm the joy and the faith and the hope that we have in you for those of us who know you well. For this we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name, and we give you all the praise and honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's Father's Day. Somebody alluded earlier, I believe it was Donna, to the fact that every day is Father's Day, or somebody did. Yes, amen. And quite honestly, I really struggled. I'm trusting God. God is the creator of the universe. He created man for fellowship with him. We know this. If you will, he created sons and daughters for himself. He desired fellowship with us, with his man that he created. And what happened is man, through selfishness, which was brought on by the rebellion of Lucifer in heaven before he was cast out, selfishness crept in and the separation took place. In the physical, there were some spiritual ramifications, but God's design and God's purpose never changed. Amen? Never changed. He still loved his man. What he did was, through that, he acted like a father, even in the fact that there was rebellion in this earth on those he created and gave dominion. He acted like a father in the fact that he tried to cover the sin and make a way for man who had been separated from him because of the fact that they disobeyed him, did their own thing, became selfish, and learned things that he really never intended for them to learn. How many of you have done everything perfect in your whole life? How many never upset your father, your mother, your dad, your mom? Okay? You know, they say that children are, the grandchildren are the reward for not killing your kids. You know? And there was a time on this earth in Noah's time where God did send judgment on this earth and destroyed man as we know him through the flood and then restarted through Noah and his family. But God's love has never changed. We know by the Word of God that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not physical, not spiritual, not calamity. Nothing. Amen? And that nothing will by any means hurt you. That's a father's love for his children. Why do we, as human parents or human dad, watch over our children and take care of them and nurture them and protect them? It's because we have that same, I'm going to use the word essence, I don't think that's the right word, but in us, that's put in us because we are designed after the similitude or the fashion and formed after God. Amen? We're in His image and likeness. Amen? So even through the rebellion, and you know why God hates sin? It's not because of what it does to Him, it's because of what it does to us. Because of what it does to us. Sin can cause all kinds of problems in your life. Even problems where you begin to think things that are not true. We have promises that in Him are yes and amen. So be it. That word amen means so be it. And one of the promises we have is there's not a thing in this earth, under this earth, above this earth, that can separate us from His love. And His whole thoughts and purposes, we know by Jeremiah 29:11, are for good and for blessing. Amen? That's what He has, that's what His thoughts are. Now we're supposed to be, once again, emulating or mimicking the Father. And when I'm talking right now, I'm not talking specifically about men, I'm talking about mankind, which we're talking about no gender there, just mankind, which includes us all. You know, I've heard stories of people who got so upset with their kids, you know, that they wanted to write them off. And God's never done that. You know, the Bible says He's long-suffering. He won't tolerate ungodliness or sin, but He doesn't turn on you. He gives you every opportunity. Amen? Just like, and that's demonstrated right from the very beginning. He had the plan already in place to send Jesus to redeem His man back after they went astray. Had it already in place. Sent His Son to redeem us back to right relationship with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. Some of us have not had good experiences with our parents in this life. The Bible says, even when your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. You can't change the love of a father or the love of a mother. It's based on the principle of God. And that love is there based on not what you do, but who you are. I'm not going to read it to you, but we all know in 1 Corinthians 13 what love is all about. And love is not a fuzzy feeling. It's not a touchy-feely kind of thing. I mean, that's all part of it. Don't misunderstand me. But love is a decision that no matter what, no matter what happens, no matter where you are, even through the mistakes you and I make on this earth, God loves us and still holds us in His hand. And we're the only ones who can make that change or cause that to stop. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Not height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature. I mean, you all know it, what the Word says. Will be able to separate us from His love. But in that love, He also gives us a long leash. And the picture I get when I say that is there's a tether It's really not a leash, it's a tether that keeps us connected to Him no matter what. And even if we go to the place where we are ready to draw our last breath, there's still hope in that last breath. Amen? A good example, as you all know, is recently my ex-wife, the mother of my children, went on to be with the Lord. How can I say that? Most of you know the story. You know that she rebelled against God. She rebelled against what was right, honest, and truthful. But the point is, she had a foundation in her heart. The Bible says God's word does not return void. What happens if you rebel long enough? You become reprobate in your thinking and you get a hard heart. But the point is, that doesn't mean that God has left or has changed His thoughts about you. This world operates in philadelphia or phileal love. The Greek word is phileal. That means brotherly love. You do right to me, and I'll do right to you. But you wrong me, I'll write you off. I'll have nothing to do with you. And that's not God. God's love is long-suffering. It never comes to an end. It's a decision. It's a decision that He made that no matter what, He loves you. We're going to make mistakes. How many never made a mistake as a child? How many never made a mistake as an adult? Good thing I didn't see any hands. We'd have to cast some lying spirits out of here. Anyway. But God's love is steadfast. It's true. Amen? And it's the same way with us. I love my kids. They didn't do everything just exactly right or the way they should have. They've made some mistakes. But you know what? They're still my kids. There's nothing that can change that. Nothing that can change that. No action, no thought, no deed. No matter how much they get ornery, it can't change the fact that I love them. I may not like it. I remember telling my children when they were young, I said, you know what? I said, now see, I was brought up in a house where you do the wrong thing, don't come home. That doesn't sound like God to me. How about you? And I told him, I said, if you do something wrong, don't run from me, run to me. So that I can pray for you, I can pray with you. I said, I may not like what you did, and I may not try to get you out of it, but I'll walk through it with you, and when it's over and done with, I will never throw it in your face. Are you beginning to see a pattern of what really, real fatherly love is? He doesn't hold you accountable. I mean, He holds you accountable for what you know, not for what you don't know. But we're going to make mistakes. We're going to have stumbling blocks. God never said that everything you did was going to be perfect. But He said that He would not leave you nor forsake you. He would never turn on you. And He never changes His mind. Amen? God's desire is to bring God our Father, our Abba, our Daddy God, is to bring blessing. To bless us, we know by the Word of God, one of the promises is also to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places by Christ Jesus, His Son, our Lord. Amen? Bless you. Anyway, going on and to finish the story, so even at the point where she was, where my ex-wife was lost, most of you know this story, for some of you who may not, it was in all the newspapers. She basically sat down. She was disoriented. She was dehydrated and basically just passed away just sitting there. But in my heart, when I first heard the news, this was clear back in November, when I heard about this, I began to pray. And I no more than started to pray. And as, again, most of you know, I had a smile in my heart. Okay, well, why? Why would you have a smile? Because I had the assurance that God, even though she had turned on Him, He hadn't turned on her. He hated what she was doing. He didn't like it, but that didn't change His attitude of love. Amen? And then when I heard that they had found her, and again I began to pray, and again I just knew in my spirit, that in that time while she sat there perishing, that she had the opportunity. Not only the opportunity, but she had ministering angels that came and drew her back. Now, I trust that. I trust God. Some of that was confirmed by some of you. You know? That's the love of God. Man was in a meeting one time with Kenneth Copeland. Most of you know this story. What I'm trying to do is paint a picture so that you'll see that God's love is not based on your actions. It's based on His decision because He created you. And that's what our love needs to be based on. As fathers, we need to love with that kind of love. Not because everybody does everything just the way we like it or our children do everything just the way we like it, but because they're our blessing from God. Your Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. Blessed is the man who hath his quiver full of them. And that what that means is not just your own children, but the children you disciple and bring up as Christians. You know, you teach them and motivate them in the Word by the Spirit of God. As God gives you opportunity, as God brings people into your path. Amen? Praise the Lord. We talked about on Mother's Day about motherhood, and it's not just those children that you're biological, but you are nurturing, and we are all nurturers our whole Christian life because we're servants of God. Amen? Too many people today, they get upset, they get angry over some trivial little thing, and most of it is pretty trivial. And they say and do things that are absolutely wrong, just wrong. But God never changes His mind. He still loves them. He's still a father. He's still a father. And He'll continue to guide you and to lead you by the Spirit of God, by the Word of truth, into the ways and the places that you should go. Amen? He trains you. I like what Connie said when she was here. This still blesses me. In Proverbs, I believe it's 26, 3, is it? Anyway, y'all know what scripture I'm talking about. It's in Proverbs. I know that for a fact. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And what she said, man, I'm telling you, this really hit me between the eyes. What's he talking about? Won't depart from what? The training. God continues to train us. How many know that no matter what our age is, or no matter how many years we've walked with God, God is still a Father who's still training us. He's still teaching us. He's still leading us. Amen? So that we can be that person that He designed us to be. Amen? Amen. Love that's not based on your actions, but based on the fact that you are what you are by His design. And that's the way we need to love in this earth. Again, not just children, not just wives, not just husbands, but all those. Amen? God cries out for those people who are His creation. Not everybody is God's child. Everybody is God's creation. Those that know Him have been grafted into the vine, grafted into the family of God. They are His children. But He cries out for those who have not yet given their lives to Him, because it's not His plan for them to perish. Once again, He has good thoughts for everybody. It's the decisions we make. The decisions my son made years back. It wasn't because he was a bad guy. He just got stupid in his thinking. Ended up not paying some traffic tickets and things and not going to court appearances. Well, you know what happened there. Sometimes God's got to get you captive so He can get your attention. But He's right there with you. Amen?
Amen?
He's right there with you. And in Psalm 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See, it's not the valley of death, it's the shadow of death. The threat of death. What's the worst death you can suffer? Separation from God. And God changed that when Jesus obeyed His Father and went to the cross, suffered all the shame, all the despising, piercing of the side, the thorns in his crown of thorns on his head and the nails in his hands. He gave up the ghost because He loved His Father and He obeyed His Father. And that redeemed us back. It was God's plan. Amen? It was God's plan. Jesus came to obey His Father. And so, the separation that was there from the rebellion and the disobedience of Adam and Eve has been dealt with. And now we have a free gift. You know, I say free, and it is free in the fact that there's no strings attached. But really there is one great string attached. And that is, it costs all of you. Are you with me? It costs all of you. Meaning a life consecrated, dedicated to Him. Choosing to do as Jesus did. This almost sounds like a salvation message. Well, it is, in a way, a salvation message. You know? Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. We cannot measure God's love. I just was reminded of a song, and I can't even begin to sing it for you or to remember all the words. But part of them is how big and wide His vast domain. Love is not a tangible thing, if you will. When it's received and given, it's very tangible, or it feels that way. But it's not tangible in the fact that you can touch it, but you can definitely sense it. You can definitely feel it. Amen? God loves mankind. But those who are really His, who have made the decision, are the ones that He has given blessings, uncountable, untold blessings to. David, just like many others, just like you and I, committed some horrendous acts. But what made him a man after God's heart, as we all know, is the fact that he repented quickly. Even when he lost sight of the deeds that he had done, and the prophet came to him and he said, David, how would you handle this situation? And the prophet explained to him exactly what had happened, and David got up in arms. You know, he tried to, it escaped his memory. He'd put it in the back burner, if you will, or whatever, suppressed it to the point where he didn't remember anymore what he had done. And David was so angry, he said, where is that man? I bring that man to me and I will destroy him right now. And the prophet looked him in the eye and said, David, you were that man. Because of what he had done, lusting after Bathsheba, sending her husband out to the front lines to be killed just so he could have her. Now you say, well, Bill, I've never done that. No, but the Bible says that sin is sin and there's no degree. If you're guilty in one aspect, you're guilty in all aspects. But God, His love, is undying, unfailing, unfading, as potent today as it was at the beginning of time. And it'll be as potent far into the future, past our existence. It'll still be very potent. Today's the day we need to make a decision. We need to honor the One who's called us, who's created us, brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light, redeemed us, sanctified us, justified us, made us righteous because of His righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, as we go and we honor fathers, for those of us who have fathers still on this earth, let's also remember to honor, which we've started right here and now. Hopefully, when you woke up this morning, you started honoring Him. Let's honor God today. Amen. God our Father, our Abba, our Daddy God, Everything we have, everything we are, everything we will be is because of Him, of His design. You know, a father teaches and trains his children so that they can function in life and so that they can be honorable people. Amen. Today, maybe you're here and you haven't had the best relationships with your father. How many know God doesn't make mistakes? John 1:13 says that you were born not by the will of man or by blood or the will of the flesh, but by God. So that means you're a plan of God no matter what happens. And no matter what happened to you, it wasn't God's design that caused that. It was sin, rebellion, and not knowing God. Not having that relationship with Him. I don't know about you. Well, yes, I do. I know about most of you. But one thing I desire more than anything else in this world, or this life, I'm not saying I don't have other desires, but it's all tempered through the fact that my greatest desire, the number one place that I'm at, the first place in my life is God. To honor Him, to know Him, to serve Him. Not based on my opinions or what I think is right, but what the Word of God tells me is the way that I should go. Just like the Scripture said, He's been training me. And the older I get, the more He trains me. And the older I get, the less I depart from His ways. Amen? Today, if there's something lacking or you feel once again that God's far from you, understand this: He didn't move, you moved. Amen. And He's there waiting. I'm reminded of another song that says He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. I started to tell you a story about Kenneth Copeland. A man was mocking what went on in the service. He was not a believer. He mocked the healings. He mocked the music. He mocked the message. And God stopped Kenneth Copeland right in his tracks. Kenneth Copeland knew where the man was, but He didn't point him out. He pointed to the direction where, in the area where this man was. And He told him right from the Word of God speaking into his heart, "You have mocked everything. You think God doesn't know? Oh, honey, you better think again. You have mocked everything that God has done here today, and you've mocked God. And every sickness and disease and every calamity and thing that was delivered off of His people today, or the people that were here today, is now on you. And if you don't repent, you will die." That wasn't the end of the story. God didn't just point him out, tell him what kind of, give him a verbal spanking. But He finished it by telling Kenneth to say, tell him, "If you will repent, you will be delivered. And you'll be healed of all of these things that have now come on you." Amazing love. I love that song, Amazing. Amen. He is amazing. He is amazing. When we read Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They're thoughts for good and not for evil. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future." That tells you right there God's final decision. We make the choices that cause the problems. Amen? We make the choices that cause the problems. It's so simple to obey, but because we have this flesh that has appetites, that we just don't want to give them up for anything. That's what causes our problems. We need to count it all but loss. Amen. Scripture is in Romans that's Richard's favorite. Anyway, what it says is that the things that we suffer in this world are not even to be compared with the things that God has set before us, the plans that He has for us, the love that He's bestowed upon us. Amen. He's not a fair weather friend. I mean, you know what a fair weather friend is. They're here when everything's going good, but when the going gets tough, they're out, man. Yeah, exactly. Like the banker. Praise the Lord. Okay? I just didn't go far enough, that's all. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Be good to read that from 18 all the way through the end of the chapter. Don't have the whole chapter, but especially 18. Don't be caught up in the things that you feel you've missed out on. Maybe you feel like you're justified in the feelings you have or you've had. But I would remind you that what about the feelings that Jesus had? When it says in Isaiah 53 that He came to His own and His own received Him not. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with griefs. And His people hid, as it were, their hearts from Him. And yet He despised the shame and went on. We know earlier in the garden He prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, not what I want, what You want. Oh, folks, that's love. That's love. No greater love has any man than a man lay down his life for his friends or for his brother. If we're going to emulate Jesus, we've got to make that decision to love like He loved and to love like the Father loves. And the fact that He gave the most precious thing He had so that we would not die in our sin, but be redeemed, restored. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got a lot to be thankful for and a lot to honor God. I admonish you today. Because God's a God of reconciliation and restoration. Maybe today, you let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. I'm not dictating to you what you need to do. But be open. It's calling your dad and saying, you know, because you're estranged from him. Calling and saying, Dad, I was just thinking about you. Swallow your pride for crying out loud. I can tell you, I miss my dad. Was he a perfect man? No. But he was a good man. And I miss him. But I have my Heavenly Father. Amen. And He's the one who, in spite of my mistakes, has blessed me with kids that He had His hand on. Amen? A lot of us can say that in this room. He had His hand on. They turned out okay. In closing, I'll make this statement. I remember sitting with the man who still is the father of this church. I mean, yeah, I'm in a father's position as a pastor, but he is still the father of this church, and he's my pastor. And I remember when I first met him, the attraction spiritually to him, mighty man of God. Those of you who know him, you know what I'm saying, what I'm talking about. And how I was concerned about my son and talking about things and all the nonsense that had gone on in my life and all the foolishness and everything. And I didn't just get on this boat yesterday, folks. Most of you know that. But the point is, what he said to me, I'll never forget. He still to this day says, I don't know what I said, but whatever it was, he knew in his spirit that it changed my life. And then he says, Bill, he says, you turned out okay, didn't you? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. Because of God's intervention. Amen. He's a healer and a restorer. So if God moves on you today, call your dad. Say, hey. If not, maybe it's just a matter of saying, God, thank you for my father. And realize that you too have made mistakes. And that you really don't want to lose fellowship with people or to cut people off in pride and arrogance. But you don't understand how wrong, how I was mistreated. Oh, but God does. Amen? He's a healer, a restorer. I guess that's the theme today. Healing and restoration. Giving honor to the Father. You never know, you could be the instrument that God uses to bring an unsaved dad into the family of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you need prayer today, we're here to pray with you. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Well, the greatest tool the devil has to use against us is fear. Amen. 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 I'm not going to go through the whole story. If you want to know the whole story, get with Harry after the service and he'll tell you. But there was a man who went to some meetings, and on the very first day he confessed his healing. This man had a growth on his neck, an ugly, ugly thing. And he reached out in faith and he touched God, and God healed him that day. But the manifestation hadn't come. And I know God's word does not return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. And through the whole week, and the more he confessed it, the more even people who were fellow Christians, but you're not healed, I can still see it. How many know we walk by faith and not by sight? Amen? And finally on Saturday, after all this negative, he never changed his testimony. He set his face like a flint. He stood like that tree planted by the water, and he saw it through. And Friday night, as he was asleep, because he didn't change his confession, that thing fell off. He had new baby skin. And when he went the next morning, all those naysayers that were supposedly believers saw that he was totally and completely healed. Scripture says, don't cast away your confidence. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We agree. Father, right now we send your word to this lady, Alexis. We thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void. And now because you have restored us and given us back dominion as your people, because we've given our lives to you, we take authority over this in the name of Jesus. We speak to those growths and say you're illegal, you don't have a right to be there. Father, we pray for her full redemption, not only physically, but spiritually, Lord. If she only knows you a little bit, we pray that she'll know you more and that she'll know and be able to give the testimony, Father God is the one who restored me and healed me. That Jesus is the one who was sent to pay the price for that healing. And we give you all honor and glory. And we say that at the name of Jesus and the character of that name, this must bow its knee and confess that Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, it's finished. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Amen? Hallelujah. And these requests that are coming out, how many know that they're what God wants? That's God's will. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have paid for the redemption or salvation, which is everything. Saved from something to something. Amen? Hallelujah. So right now, Lord, we lift up these situations. We lift up this lady that's sitting here before us as she sits in proxy for the people she's talked about, her own daughter, Lord. We understand that. Many of us have stood or are still standing for loved ones, Lord. We now, right now, send your word, the living word, to those loved ones spoken of here, friends and loved ones, Lord. And we say, Lord, by your stripes they are healed. Reveal yourself to them. Touch their hearts. Let them see your hand in their lives. Reveal your love to them. And that they're not beyond your being able to intervene in their life and change the circumstances and the situations. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. We believe. No other report. And right now, once again, we anticipate your inevitable supernatural intervention in these requests and these people who have been brought before us, Lord, because your word doesn't return void. So we thank you even now for the good report. Amen. You'll get glory to yourself. Anybody else? Okay. Can I just tell you something? We don't believe in coincidences around here. We believe in God directing and ordering our steps. I spent 12 years in the prison system of Colorado as an evangelist. I've watched God do supernatural things. And sometimes God has to get people in a place where they can't run or hide, where he can get to them. Amen? Amen. And so he's not in a bad place. He's right where God wants him. And you know when you hit bottom, there's only one way to look. And that's up. Amen? Amen? So I thank you, Father. I thank you for joy and peace in this lady's heart and in these situations, even for her husband, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that he's captive. He can't run from you where he's at, Lord. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, as you go in and you minister to this man, you minister life, reconciliation, Lord, restoration, that you reveal that you are his heavenly Father, his Creator. And in so doing, Lord, that he turns his life to you and he becomes a light in that dark place that he's in, Lord. So that once again, there'll be no question who is the one who authored his liberty, even though it may not be physical for a time, but you authored his liberty. Set him free. Caused light to be in a place of darkness and nastiness, Lord. There's nowhere we can go where we can hide or run from your love, Lord, or your hand. Once again, your hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So we send your word now to him. Be healed, be whole. In Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear? Praise the Lord. Let's be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this day and this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you not only are our Father, but you are the example for all of us to know how to live, for us men to be fathers, not only to our own children, but to those who need a father, Lord, who need discipling, Lord. We thank you for that. And we do give you honor today, Lord. Not just with lips, but with service, with actions, Lord. And now, Lord, as we dismiss, we ask, Lord, and we say, let your face shine on your people. Go with them. Let your joy radiate from them and let overtake them and fill them. Because it's your joy, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, Lord, we sanctify the food and the time of fellowship, Lord, we have. We give you all praise and honor and glory, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.